Hey guys, it's JMS. Before you get to this episode, I wanted to tell you where I'm at on the road so you can come see me if I'm in a city near you. Alaska, I'm doing my annual little mini tour of Alaska. I will be in Homer, Cooper Landing, Seward, and I'm doing a very special riffs only show in Anchorage. It's going to be off the cuff. It's going to be insane. It's going to be unlike anything I've ever done. So come see me. It's going to get really freaking wild. Friggin'? What am I talking about? Okay, Fargo, I'm coming back. Despite that crazy man the last time I was there, absolutely losing his mind and having to be pulled out by six different officers because he was having an acid-induced meltdown. Hopefully we avoid that. But TBD, April 17th and 18th, gotta come to the shows to find out. Then I'm headed to Charleston. I'll be at Wits End April 24th and 25th. Love your city. Can't wait to be back. Then I'm finally coming to Salt Lake City. Don't let me down, Utah. You guys have been asking me to come there forever. So figure out how to come to a Thursday night show. And I will see you on April 30th at Wise Guys. And then Milwaukee, May 1st and 2nd. Marquette, Michigan. I'm coming to the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm going to be at Ojibwa Casino. I'm probably saying that wrong, but those tickets will be available soon. Get on the wait list so you can be notified when they drop. Winter Haven, Florida, and Tampa. I will be in Winter Haven 15th and 16th of May, 17th of May in Tampa, and then later in the year, I will be in Raleigh and Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're in these cities, come see me. If you know someone in these cities, tell them to come see me and get a laugh. Touring has never been more expensive. I'll be totally frank with you guys. Ticket sales are okay, but I'm going to need them to be a little bit more than okay for me to not lose money. I'm not going to back out of these shows because I've already committed, but that's not to do with ticket sales. I know that they come later and closer up to shows, but the price of travel is fucking insane. So I don't know. I'm going to have to adjust how I do my touring, and how these shows go is going to factor in future tour dates. So no pressure, but don't ruin the fun for everybody by thinking you'll get me on the next time around. There might not be a next time around for your city. Anyway, here, enjoy this episode. Stay safe. Stay sane. Hey, idiots. Welcome back to another episode of Hey, Idiots. Formerly known as Ignorance is Blessed. Briefly known as FFS before I found out that means feminine facial feminization surgery. It's something for trans people to get closer to the gender that they are supposed to be. I can't even say it right. The point is, why did I keep changing it? Why can't I do anything? I've started this over five times, and I just started it the same way I started it before I started it over. Grit. I'm not going to talk about that book, but there's a book about it. I'm reading about it. And it turns out, taking the quiz, I thought I had a lot of it. I don't. Boy, do I love to start something new and not stick with anything. But I have stuck with stand-up. So I don't know. Is grit an across-the-board thing, or is it specific and interest-based? Can you develop it? Find out next week when I maybe get through the book. If I can't get through the book on grit, I mean, it's probably over, right? Like, that should be step one of finish the book about grit if you're trying to develop more grit. That's neither here nor there. I've been gone for a little while. I was in New York. I'm finally back to my setup in Los Angeles. Moki is furious I'm recording this podcast. Turns out, I guess she hates it. I turned on the light. Set up my laptop to go live at 5. If you don't know, if you're listening to this later, I'm going live at 5 every Tuesday for a little chit-chat up top. Maybe a little ranting that's not so much chit-chat where I start the podcast over two times. But we have fun, and you can get in there with other idiots, the League of Extraordinary Idiots, as I have long time called us. Wow, that sounds like, you know what it sounds like. And if you don't, whatever. You're an idiot. We're all idiots. Anyways, I tried to set everything up and she escaped out of my bedroom, which I want to tell you is a studio, but it's my bedroom. And she did not want to come back in here. She knew. She's like, oh, she's going to be fucking talking at the screen again, yelling about God knows what. I do want to take a second and just acknowledge the comedian Alex Young. You may have seen about it online. Alex Duong is what how it's phonetically spelled and how I incorrectly pronounced it for a long time before he really casually just went, it's Young. And I was like, oh, fuck. And by the way, I wasn't the only asshole. He was like, yeah, no, everyone's been saying it wrong. I just finally was like, I should correct people. I should just tell them. Which, such a comedian thing to do.
I related to it so much. He was a door guy at the Comedy Store. Very funny. Kind of came up in the roast battle scene, wrote for Historical Roast. He passed away last week. He was battling a very rare form of cancer in his eye. And unfortunately, I guess it spread to his spine. He got sepsis. And it all went downhill, unfortunately, very quickly. So I will be putting a link to his GoFundMe for his family. It was started originally for his medical care, but now he leaves behind his wife and a young daughter who he loved. So if you have a couple bucks, throw that there and just, you know, hug people that you love and, you know, enjoy life while you can, I guess, is the bleak, shitty way to put it. He was, I will say, it is sort of a dark chuckle I've been having this week with the overwhelming echo from comedians who loved this man, myself included, you know, sharing about it and going, God, he was just so kind and positive. You don't get that a lot with comedians. Like, the overwhelming, like, sideline of remembering Alex, who was so nice and so funny. A lot of times, this is like an inside comedy thing, but a lot of times when you ask someone like, oh, do you know so-and-so? They're like asking you about another comedian. And they go, yeah, they're so nice. It's kind of their way of going, they're not that funny, but they're nice. I mean, no one's saying it if the person's a dick, but like sometimes it's like, if nice is the first thing, it sometimes is a red flag. In fact, I had someone explain to me once, Ari Manis. I asked him if I was nice, and he's like, I wouldn't describe you as nice. And I was so hurt. And he's like, do you want to be a comedian who's described as nice? And I was like, oh, you're right. Alex was one of the rare few exceptions where, as funny, maybe funnier than he was nice, but truly kind and like positive. I mean, the last time we spoke, we were messaging about, you know, I was just giving my like positive hang in there, bud, you know, we miss you and can't wait to have you back. And that was when he was going through his initial treatment. And he was like, oh, thanks. You know, just a bump in the road in the grand scheme of things. I'll be back out there. And just such a positive outlook, but always like that, just in a good mood. Even when he could crack like the darkest fucking jokes, he just, and you know, I wasn't super close to him. He was a lock guy. So we would interact, you know, when he'd park my car, I'd hang out with him in the halls when I was hanging out at the store. I know he was a lot closer to other people. So I imagine, you know, comedians are comedians. He probably had his inside jokes, probably had his people that he, you know, preferred or didn't prefer. God knows. Maybe he secretly didn't prefer me. You never would know. Like, but like, he just had it. It's like an energetic thing. You know, people who just, they have a warm energy. And it's maybe easier to notice in comedy because so many comedians don't. So many comedians have weird, cold energies. They're aggressive. They're closed off. They're just weirdly introverted in a way you don't expect, or just trying to keep to themselves because they're overwhelmed. And he just had just a human, like, just, he was like a good dude. Yeah. And I can say that about a few people, you know, who I ran into regularly at the store, but it was refreshing. It really was. And so it's just a bummer. A bummer is such a shitty thing to say. It's really deeply sad. I'm opening a podcast talking about the saddest part and then going to go into silly stories. So that was poor arranging. Anyway, if you get a chance, even if you can't afford to donate, his Instagram is at Dapper Duong, D-U-O-N-G. Treat yourself. Go over there and watch some of his reels. Very funny. His stand-up, his roast. He was on one of the seasons of Roast Battle. I can't remember if it was one or two, or maybe he was on both. Had an incredible roast battle against Robin Tran, among others. And it's just a terrible loss for the whole comedy community. I will miss him, and I just wish I could give a big hug to all the people who I know were so much closer to him and hurting, and it just fucking sucks dick. So, you know, I mean, he was 42? Like, what a... I don't know. I guess you just... I mean, I think the silver, not silver lining, ugh. But the thing I am taking away from it, because for, you know, maybe my own selfish, like, trying to heal and feel better reasons, but I, anytime someone I know passes away, I try to find, and I don't want to say there's a, it's not like, and everything happens for a reason. That's a fucking stupid thing. It's like, yeah, sometimes shit just goes wrong and that sucks. So quit looking for a reason. But I want to try to carry more of that positivity in my life, as I have restarted this 3 times ranting about the least positive things. But now I'm talking about it. Now I remember. So, you know, be kind to people. It doesn't hurt to just be chill. A little bit, you know, don't take out your stress on the world around you. And I think he was maybe good at that. He was real good at still greeting people warmly, even God knows what he was dealing with even before he got sick, because being a human is fucking exhausting. And I think a lot of comedians are so used to bearing it all on stage or using it for fodder to entertain their audience that sometimes we become we turn off that filter and just see the world through in the words of my friend Adam Macias, who I started stand up with, shit colored glasses. So, you know, trying to put on some rose colored glasses and get through the grief and come out with some sort of positivity on the other side. But please check him out and do donate if you can. I cannot imagine what a fucking terrible nightmare for his wife and his daughter. And on that note, I'm going to do a hard pivot out and talk about what's going on over here in my world. We're going to just get lighter and real fucking basic. I graduated from the professional puppetry program in New York. Huzzah, hurrah, we did it. If you're tuned in, you can probably see my 2 hand puppets in the rear view behind me. Had a fun last class showcase, and, you know, had been kind of wondering, what am I going to do with these things? And then remembered, not those things as in the puppets behind me, but the puppet skills. And then I remembered, I was just talking to my friend Jeffrey Baldinger, who some of you may know, he's been on an episode before. We have a Christmas musical that we have written and done a couple times as a storybook musical where we do all the voices. And I was talking to him because he's in New York mostly now. And, light bulb above the head. What if we turned some of those characters into puppets? So that's a goal. I'm putting a pin in it for now because I'm trying to write a film that I'm very excited about. And there's some interest in from production. I'm working with a big producer and studios are buzzing about it a little bit. There's real interest from real studios, which is crazy. And just today, because I was like, well, I guess I have puppetry skills, and people have been like, you're going to bring a puppet on stage for your stand-up? I don't think so, but what am I going to do? I do enjoy it. I don't think I'm super great at building puppets yet, but to circle back to grit, maybe it's just a thing where I have to keep going, and that can be like a side fun hobby. If you guys could hear the rant, the deranged rant I went on before I restarted this about how hard I work or how I'm always in work mode and can't turn off, which was supposed to have a silver lining point, but then started sounding like me being like, no, nobody works harder than Jessica Michelle Singleton. It's like, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm not saying the thought right. It's not coming out of my mouth right. You would be laughing so hard, I think, at me going, my hobbies, because it's like, bitch, you don't have hobbies. Give up. Give up on having hobbies. It's not happening for you. Your hobby is working on other things. Anyways, I got a notice for an audition looking for puppeteers who also have costume character experience that are between the heights of 4'11" and 5'1" for Fraggle Rock Live in New York. I mean, look, my dog is named after a character from Fraggle Rock. Her Instagram is Snaggle Rock. I was a high school state champion mascot. I did Elmo for Sesame Street Live at Busch Gardens in college. I've done promotional characters for NBC. I was Dookie for Squatty Potty. Some of you may remember the ads that I made with Nicole, Amy Schreiber, during the pandemic when we were all locked down doing Two Filthy Nerds, which, by the way, I know that, like, we just did one season of Court of Thorns and Roses and it didn't really get traction. So we were like, what are we adding extra stress to both of our schedules? Because we were both fucking crazy busy. And that same thing I talked about being crazy work mode, and just kind of put a pin in it. But Sarah J. Maas announced book 6 and 7 are coming, and I cannot wait. And I might have to do a reread of the whole series. And I'm really trying to make, like, shame myself into stop thinking I should turn it into some kind of content and just enjoy it, you know? But all that to say, I'm submitted, I think. I think I'm submitted to audition for Fraggle Rock Live. Will they let me audition? I don't know. It's in New York. Are they more likely to take a super trained dancer and just teach her the rest? Probably. But it did feel like, okay, let me just tell you. Well, there's one more thing that makes it feel crazy. I just finished puppetry training. I love costume characters. Moki? No, Moki, lay down. I love costume characters. It's not what I meant, but truthfully, I do love costume characters. I have costume character experience. In fact, I was thinking about doing it on the side because somebody earlier this year when I was being Mannequin being like, I should do something else instead of just like, no, bitch, focus on the things you are doing and those will bring more money in and then you can do them at a higher level, i.e. the script I'm trying to finish. But somebody was like, you know, have you ever thought about being a costume character? The rights has to be several of the Nintendo World characters at Universal Studios. Anyways, and I'm not doing that, but the thought circled in my mind. So having the recent thought and then having, it's my favorite kids show from my childhood. I have puppetry experience. I have costume character experience. And if any of you have seen my tour dates floating around, and if you haven't, punchup.live/JMS, go there, get tickets. Please come see me live. I'm in a bunch of places. My spring dates, my last date of my spring touring until late in the fall is Tampa. Fuck yeah, Tampa, go Bulls. My college stomping grounds. May 17th. Rehearsals for Fraggle Rock Live in New York start May 18th. I'm sorry. It's like the universe wants me to play a Fraggle, I think. I don't know. It kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? And like, I'm sort of stuck in this dichotomy. I'm not even. It's like, there is a little bit of my brain. Do you guys have the critic in your brain? Like the judgmental voice that kind of like judges the own thing, your like own things that you get excited about, or like when you do something dumb where you go, oh, you're fucking dork, or like, oh, you're an idiot. Obviously I have that. The podcast is called Hey Idiots. That voice, if it was an individually one of these things, like all throughout puppetry, the training program, when I would tell people like, oh, they're like, oh, what are you working on while you're in New York? That voice would be in my head going, you dork. When I go, actually, I'm like, I'm doing puppets. And I'm sure if I was just going to be a costume character, I'd also hear that voice going, really, nerd, costume character. I'm so excited at the just sliver of an idea that there's even this teeny tiny much of a chance of me getting to do a Fraggle Rock live show, even getting to audition where I get to do puppets. Because the Doozers, if you remember, for the people who know, the Doozers are puppets, and that's what they want people who are puppetry trained for. But they alternate with the people doing the Fraggle characters, and that's why they're height specific. It's so exciting that I've just gone full blown dork and don't care. I'm like, this is fucking cool. Like, in a world where I booked that, which, let me be clear, it is still more likely that I'm so much closer to a no than a yes, because that's the case for anything. That being said, I did book a commercial. Can't tell you about it, but I booked a commercial. I shoot it tomorrow, and holy shit. I also like filmed myself getting ready for it, being like, I'll never use this. But I was like, I'm going to film stuff in case I want to do like a blog style video of like, get ready with me to audition for a commercial. And I like filmed myself walking up the stairs, or the stairs as I went up, going, you know, and at the end I'll cut to like, guess what? Here's the fucking commercial. Didn't book it. Booked it. What the fuck? And now, by the way, not to jump ahead, but I forgot what I was going to say about... Anyways, I'm just so fucking... Like, I would lose my mind. I would... From the rooftop, I would not be too... Like, there's things where it's like, oh, but would you be too cool to, like, share about that? If I were to be a Fraggle in Fraggle Rock Live, I'll be like, hey, guys, you may notice I don't have tour dates. That's because I'm in New York City being a motherfucking Fraggle. So bring your kids or bring your friends who watch Fraggle Rock growing up and take an edible and come watch as adults. I don't care. It's going to be great. All that to say, not all that, but to jump back to the commercial thing really fast. It was my first time doing a commercial audition in person in a long time. And the building was, the last time I had went there, I had the same thought. I was like, God, I haven't done an in-person commercial audition in a long time. And that might have been the last time I did an in-person commercial audition, actually. I've done self-tapes, which is where you tape yourself at home and, you know, have your reader behind the camera and then you send it in and you just go, maybe they'll look at it. But I was driving up to this place and I was like, the last time I was here was literally when the fires broke out. The Palisades, like I walked out, I texted a picture of the Palisades, like the smoke going, holy shit, I just left my commercial audition and like something is fucking wrong to Nate. That was the last time I auditioned in person for a commercial. And I don't think that commercial even happened. And they held me, it did happen. I remember seeing it, but they held me in the room for a long time. Me and it was like a group commercial and they had us like stay. And I was like, this is good. That's good. When they like hold you, they have you do different takes. Or at least I was like, it feels like it's good. So I do this one and I get a call, no call back, straight to booking. They go, they want you. What? Fucking awesome. But now I say all that to say, the delusional nugget I'm taking out of this, because I'm trying to go like, just be a little delusional. Be a little like, if you're not going to be actually confident, fake that you're confident until you feel that way. So now I go, if I'm in the room, I book it. That's what I said to my manager, Nate. I go, I booked the commercial. And guess what? I'll book anything if you can get me in the room. That's what I said to him. Because I do a lot of self-tapes for not commercials, for film, for TV, and I've gotten you know, callbacks. I get good feedback, but oh, it's just not the quite what we're looking for. And I know that they enjoy some of them because there's casting directors who since have, you know, and I'm fairly new to like regularly doing any acting things, but the fact that casting directors keep sending me out for stuff is like, okay, they liked me, they think that there's something out there for me, so that's information that I'm like, okay. But that's the confidence I'm carrying now. That I go, if I'm in the room, I'm booking. hands down. And I think walking into anything creative with that attitude, you're going to give your best performance because you're not going, am I good enough? You're not looking around the room and going, oh my God, what are these all? Because I do this thing. And this is specifically directed at creatives who have to go in for auditions. And maybe you guys do this too. Or, you know, maybe people just going out for job interviews. I mean, I know the job market's a clusterfuck now. I have a tendency to go, but I also have a tendency to, like, if something goes wrong, I make it my fault, which is its own beast. But, like, I'll walk in a room for an audition and just, there's always been a part of my brain that for some reason, sorry, I feel like I'm about to be Booger City on the camera. I don't know what's going on with my nose. Oh my God, if I get sick and I have this commercial tomorrow, I'm taking a Zicam as soon as we're done. But I just invent that everyone else has more experience than me. I go, oh, they all probably book commercials all the time. As if I'm the only one auditioning and not booking. That's crazy. Most people here know. Most people get a no in most of the things they submit for in the entertainment industry. And I'll tell you what, I walked in that room, the audition waiting room, and there were three other women, and they, I am not kidding, all looked so similar, and they were in the exact same type of shirt, and I was not. And I was like, well, I'm either going to stand out in a good way or a really bad way. They're going to go, this woman doesn't understand what we asked for. But I guess it was a good way. So TBD on when it comes out. I'll obviously be sharing it as soon as I can. But yeah, take that with you. You use delusion. Also, I did book live in the room, so when I was in the room, so why shouldn't I think that? And I said that to my manager so that he can go, she's better in the room, and try to get me in the room more. And this is actually making me remember. I think there was an audition that asked about me being in the room, and I never... Oh, no, it was a meeting about being in person, and we did do it in person. Oh, my God. I talked so much that I didn't even get to talk about the things I wanted to talk about. I'm going to get to some idiots in the news before we go, but I do want to say since I just blabbed about acting, and really not for acting purposes, but to really get a better grasp on script format, I reactivated my AMC A-list members, and I'm fucking stoked about it. I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, which was a special event, so you couldn't use the thing, but that's when I got suckered back into joining. Doesn't hold up in terms of adult enjoyment. But that, like, it, across, like, I don't think if I had never seen it, I would have been blown away. Obviously, the nostalgia of it was enough for me to be like, fuck yeah. But I forgot how little violence there was in that movie. And I learned it's because the first one was so dark and violent that Moms Against Violence or something, it was like a group, like, protested and complained. So they made, I'm not kidding, like, there's no violence. They have weapons on their back they don't use. They beat up a guy with like a foam. Someone gets beat up with like a foam thing. It's like, this would never happen. And of course it's silly to go, this would never happen, when it's like, oh, the foam thing's a problem, not the giant fighting turtle. But like, I don't know. It is interesting to me, like, the fact that they were even able to make a third one, which across the board, everyone, you know, seems to agree this was a stinker, blows my mind, because it was so far away from what the first one was, which it's like, okay, if the first one did so well that you're like, we should make a second one to make more money, why would you stray so far from that? This is the problem with industry, and the problem with, I think a big problem affecting the industry with the invention of social media is that they'll listen to like the loudness of the internet. The amount of shows that I think have been pulled because people on the internet complained about something, it's like, those people weren't watching the show. You know that, right? They like saw someone else tweet about it and then they like went on a rampage with them. I actually think, and Comedy Central is supposed to be coming back. I've met with them. I'm optimistic, but I kind of have thought that that was the downfall of Comedy Central, that they started kind of trying to cater toward what the internet was saying they wanted, instead of just like, hey, make comedy for like 15-year-old boys. That's your audience. Know your audience. I don't know. When I say 15-year-old boys, I mean, yeah, no, it, yeah, 15-year-old boys. And people who have a fucking sense of humor. Anyway. Talk too much industry here, but Project Hail Mary. That's what I wanted to say before I go into Idiots in the News and we get the fuck out of here. I loved it. I would love your opinions. I know it's doing well in the box office, but again, that doesn't necessarily mean people are loving it. I mean, it means they're checking it out, you know, but it does feel like they must love it because people are still talking about it and spreading, but the word and going, you got to see this. I'm not even going to go into details about what it was about. I did realize, I'm like, oh, this, that was the, like, I'm going to start watching movies to better understand film writing, like from that lens. A light bulb went off, which this is going to sound so dumb to people who have watched a ton of movies and probably are like, well, yeah, duh. I knew that like space movies and like sci-fi was a genre, but like specifically this like guy nearly alone, guy alone in space on a journey. That's a genre. And people love that genre if you do it well. People love that genre, period. And so I was like, oh, that's a piece of information I learned. It was long. And I loved it. God, I loved it. And a little bit, the graphics felt, graphics isn't even the right word. I guess it is graphics, but like the cinematography and some of the CGI or lack of CGI, maybe a little bit, it felt not as up to date as like, or maybe, I know it wasn't low budget, but there were things where I went, oh, this feels a little like 80s, 90s, like that this could have been done in a slightly more believable way, or it just was captured in a way that felt a little like we're on a set. And maybe that's just because I've been in Hollywood too long. I would love to hear from people who, if anyone else had that thought, drop it in the chat now and I'll check when we log off, or like leave it in a comment if you're watching this later. But all that to say, because I do have a heart out, because I need to go borrow shirts from my friend Mandy Martino, hilarious comedian, because I need more options for my commercial that I book tomorrow. Okay. Idiots in the News. This one was submitted by listener John, longtime listener, moderator in the Idiots Facebook group. Come on over there. He's just helps me make sure people aren't spamming and posting bullshit that has nothing to do with anything we're doing. Florida woman arrested after climbing in climbing tree. Okay, let me start from the top, even though I'm not going to cut that, but just so it's clean in case I want to make a clip. What am I talking about? Clip? See, this is the fucking problem. Anyway, you guys already know where that's going. Florida woman arrested after climbing tree in squirrel costume declares herself squirrel queen during acorn attack. Now, I do need to first of all say, after all the blobbing I did about costume characters, and being in Tampa, this is not me. But a Florida woman is facing charges after police say she turned a quiet neighborhood into a full-blown woodland uprising by climbing a tree in a squirrel costume and allegedly pelting officers with acorns while declaring herself royalty. This happened in Jacksonville, Florida. Neighbors called to report a woman behaving erratically in a residential yard, only to find her perched several feet up in a tree, dressed head to toe as a squirrel, and she wasn't coming down quietly. She just refused to come down. I mean, it is so funny. You know, a lot of people talk shit about it, fuck the police, and this woman is actually doing something. And yeah, is it insane? Sure. Did it work? Absolutely not. But somewhere in Jacksonville, Florida, there are a couple police afraid to walk under trees because they know how painful it feels to get hit by an acorn now. And who knows? Maybe she will inspire them to evolve. There have been squirrels in the news, another story, vaping. Squirrel caught vaping in London Park. But it's happened in Chicago. These videos are going viral. Wildlife experts issued a warning about discarded nicotine products after a squirrel was caught on camera, apparently vaping at a London Park. Now, the squirrels aren't actually vaping, I hope. Ugh, what's next? Squirrel DJs? Kill me. But they are picking up the cartridges and playing with them. And it actually makes me so sad because it's probably like, especially the flavored ones, it probably just is like, ooh, a little snack. It's a squirrel. They don't know any better. Now little squirrels are going to be ingesting nicotine. And then, I mean, a squirrel on nicotine, then I'm fucked. Then I'll never make it in Hollywood. They're all going to pass me up. Who are you going to book for Fraggle Rock Live? Me or a chain-smoking squirrel? who has a nicotine rush and gets every step correct. 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got to put a stop to this. Seriously, you guys, just fucking... I mean, quit vaping. It's gross. But if you're not going to quit, like, switch to Zyn at least. But if you're not going to quit, dispose of your shit properly. Don't litter vapes. That's like, that should be so obvious. That like, a little kid, a dog, a squirrel, the bees. What if the bees get on nicotine? Ugh. And now they're just angry at you because they're going through withdrawals. Have you ever seen an angry squirrel? It's scary. And lastly, a carpool scammer used an empty jacket as a fake passenger. Now, I don't know how many of you live in places that have carpool lanes, because I don't know that this was a thing before I moved to LA. It definitely wasn't in Anchorage. I'm pretty sure in Tampa we didn't have one, although that may have changed because it's been a few years. There's a carpool lane on every highway in LA, pretty much. And I often think about, like, who's watching? And I wonder if he would have been less likely to get caught if he didn't have a setup. He just put a jacket in his front seat. And I'm like, to me, that's... But how? How did they see? That's what I wonder. They're just fucking looking at us in our cars. It creeps me out. There was a comedian. I wish I could remember who. It's someone who I started with, and I think they're still out. I just can't remember whose joke it was. Who used to have a joke about driving in the carpool lane with just an empty car seat. And if he gets pulled over and someone goes, "You're driving the car alone," he would go, "No, I have my, oh my God, my son!" Which is so funny. And of course, Dan Madonia, who years ago I did a Weediculous tour with, him and Omid Singh and another comedian, had a joke about how getting in a long-term relationship is like getting in a carpool lane. Because you get in and you go, "I thought this was supposed to be better." And then you watch everyone just passing you by. And it's, he's, by the way, still with the woman he was with when he wrote that joke. They have two beautiful kids, living a happy life. But very funny joke. He's over in the New York area. So if you're, I think he's kind of upstate New York, but check out Dan Madonia. He's around. Cool guy. Also someone with good energy. And what an accidental bookend for this episode, kind of, although that's dark. God. Oh, too late. I already said it. Listen, that's it for now. If you want to see me live, which is the best way to see me, I do jokes. I don't just go on rants about grit. punchup.live/JMS. Sign up there. It will automatically request me near you. So if I'm not in your city, it like gives me a little ping of like, somebody here wants you to come their way. And then when I do book a show there, you will be the first to know before everyone, so you can get advance tickets. And of course, that's good. And then you get a guaranteed seat if you just buy them real quick. And in theory, exclusive content. I think eventually I'm going to put up a video of this new hour, which you can get if you join jmscomedy.com. I have too many things. I need someone to tell me how to condense these. Why did I start a second thing? I mean, like, I want to do it, but there's too many. It needs to all be in one place. I'm a fool. But anyways, I have members over at jmscomedy.com. You can get, you can just support the arts. You can get postcards. You can get, we're going to do an exclusive hang for the higher tier members pretty soon here. I fucked up and completely forgot to put it out last week. So just know you are getting me the real me, but you can access the real me. You can DM me. I answer. I'm not answering DMs on the social medias anymore. I can't deal with the fucking crazies. And I just don't have time. I can't get sucked into that and not get more shit done. But anyways, I hope you're staying safe as possible in these maybe end times. Remember to get to the airport early. And there's no time to talk about how... I really don't think Congress should get to go on recess if part of the government shut down. I don't think you should get to take a vacation. And here's what I think. Whatever party you represent, whatever party you identify with, I think if your senator or representative isn't trying to push things in a direction to not shut down the government, I don't know. As I said that, I was like, yeah, but it's them, we could shut it down if we did this. Well, if they just did this, so what am I even talking about? I think if the government shuts down more than once in your term, you don't get to run again. I think it goes, you're bad at your job. You at least have to sit this out. And also, I've been listening to Unbiased University, the series on Unbiased podcast, which I really love. It's usually a very great source for unbiased news, but she's on maternity leave. But she made all these great episodes. If you're a nerd like me and like to learn about, you know, the legal system, it's all about the Constitution and talks about like the setting up of our government to give you a basis to like understand news stories better. Senators used to have other jobs. That used to not be it used to be like they might like that wasn't something where you could survive. And I think we should go back to that. I think it should be. I don't think you should be able to make six figures. And you have vacation? You have vacation time and there's people not even getting paid to do their government jobs? Fuck you. Anyway, that's all for now. We'll see you next time, idiots. Bye.